Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a warm welcome to Main Menu, a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective, produced by and for ACB Radio Mainstream. In this special half-hour programme, we'll take a brief look back at Main Menu, the year that was. A common theme on Main Menu over the years has been to encourage people to use technology to its full potential, rather than letting the technology use us. Do you wish you had better control over the functions of your video recorder? In January, Michael Killian demonstrated the talking VCR remote control from Cobalt Systems. We've spent many hours on Main Menu looking at our computers talking to us. In January, we discussed one way of talking back to our computers. Dragon Naturally Speaking can be made more user-friendly with Jaws and Jawbone. Terry Clasper and Brian Hartchin of TNT Consultancy were along to tell us more.
The first thing we need to find out then is the status of the microphone. It's important to be able to verify this because many users will have Naturally Speaking start when Windows is loaded. And similarly, if one is interrupted during the course of text dictation or PC control, you would need to know whether the microphone is in an active or passive state before you continue giving instruction to the PC. After all, there's no point in dictating text or issuing commands if the microphone is in sleep mode because it's just not going to obey your instructions.
Also in January, Kevin Reeves introduced us to Pro Tools for the Apple Macintosh, an audio suite used in many professional recording studios around the world. And Randy Fermenti introduced us to filtering email using Outlook Express. In February, Kevin Reeves continued his series on Pro Tools for the Apple Macintosh. Also of interest to those with a passion for audio was our look at Station Playlist Studio, an affordable, versatile, and most importantly, an accessible playout system.
So what does it all do? Well, as the name implies, Station Playlist Studio is designed to be used by broadcasters. It's positioned and priced in a way to be attractive to and useful to people in small studios, people who may be doing internet broadcasting on a low budget, or perhaps in countries like New Zealand, where micro-broadcasting has really taken off, running small, low-power FM stations around the place. The studio package is, if you like, the equipment in your studio. The Station Playlist Scheduler package allows you to be quite precise about the kind of events that are played when. So, there are some basic system requirements I need to tell you about. Underlying the Station Playlist Studio package is Winamp and the SQR Crossfader plugin. You do need to have Winamp version 2, by the way. It does not work with version 3, I'm pleased to say, because neither do screen readers. You need to have that installed before you install Station Playlist Studio, and you also need to have on your system somewhere the SQR Soft Crossfading Output plugin. And both Winamp and the SQR Soft Crossfading Output plugin are available on the same download page as the Station Playlist Studio download, which is only about 800k, and it does come with a very useful help file that gets you up and running.
Chuck Atkins of the Central Ohio Radio Reading Service looks at the GPS software for the Braille Note. The global positioning system can be used by blind people to assist with travel. In February, DJC spoke to Alan Maynard and Liam Irvin, two new developers hoping to crack the accessible games market. As well as demonstrating a range of software, including DJC's excellent series concerned with Norton System Works, in February and March, Main Menu also brought you a number of hardware reviews, including XM Satellite Radio, demonstrations of a number of quality microphones, a portable MP3 CD player, but probably of most interest to the assistive technology community was our two-part look at the PacMate.
For many of us who rely on Braille to do our jobs, the jury will still be out until we see the Braille output version of PacMate. And speaking of Grade 2, the way Braille is implemented everywhere other than in FS Edit is a little quirky, although all software has its quirks, and when you use it every day, you tend to get used to them. The integration of data between parts of the suite and the synchronization with your PC makes working with information effortless and, in fact, a pleasure. The Outlook-related features in particular, with their recurring appointments, tasks, notes, contacts, and the way that they all work with one another, is well thought out and impressive. There is no doubt that with the release of PacMate, there is a credible, exciting, major new force in the portable digital assistant market for the blind.
In March, Main Menu was proud to be the first to announce the unveiling of iVocalize, a new voice-over IP technology and e-learning solution brought to us in association with the Access Technology Institute and Audio Tips. Finally, in March, Larry Lewis was along to give us a sneak preview about what was to come in Keysoft version 5, the software which powers the Braille Note. In spring, the major assistive technology developers were showing off their wares at CSUN 2003. Doug Joffrey came on Main Menu to tell us about WindowEyes 4.5, which was to see a major unfreezing of the WindowEyes feature set. Eric Damery of Freedom Scientific also joined us to talk about version 4.51 of JAWS, and we did our very best to see what we could learn about the upcoming JAWS 5.
We were able to show a very impressive demo at CSUN, where we had a laptop sitting over there with a Windows 2000 server on it, and we had a couple other machines that were connected to it through a LAN, and we could actually log into a session running WindowEyes on that session, and it was fully accessible as if you were actually sitting at that terminal. So it was kind of boring to demonstrate because how do you show that? It just works. It's just like you were sitting at your desktop. But when you think about what's going on, it was very, very impressive.
I think that we're going to just introduce some new technology to Windows screen readers that our users are going to just really appreciate and begin to really enjoy using. And I wish I could tell you more, but as you know, competition is about to get their products out this spring. I just as soon let them get their product out the door, and then we'll unveil what's to come this summer for everybody.
April saw DJC complete his series on Norton System Works, as well as introducing us to Adware, a useful utility in the battle against spyware and unwanted advertising. When it comes to PC software, Main Menu isn't just about system maintenance utilities and screen readers. Oh no. We do let our hair down from time to time, and in April we had demonstrations of a number of accessible games, including Chris Skarstedt's excellent review of The Hunter Game from BSC Games, and Kelly Superger demonstrated Pac-Man Talks, an accessible version of one of the most popular games in the world. Raul Gallegos reviews Windows Simon Says, and also in April we showed you how to set up your own Shoutcast server for streaming audio using the internet. And Main Menu finished April with a fascinating interview with Dr. Greg van der Heijden of the Trace Research Center at the University of Wisconsin. We hear about work on an international standard protocol which will allow all the devices in your home to talk to one another, thus making various types of technology more accessible to people with disabilities.
Yeah, actually 508 is, now it's interesting, is push legislation and pull legislation. Push says, you have to do this. Pull says, if you do this, I will buy your product. Pull is always better because it works through all the natural marketing forces of the company. And 508 is pull. Now, basically the government is pushed into requiring or asking for accessible products. And there is a right of private action there. If you don't do it, then you can bring a case against the government, not against the company. Companies don't have to do anything. But if the government then does, and they have been taking it seriously, and they show preference for products which are accessible, then yes, products which are accessible would have a market advantage. And the key to that is twofold. One is getting products which are really good and well designed, and that takes a lot of input to the companies and working with the disability community so that you actually end up with things that are really going to be working well. And then the government being aware that they exist and being aware of what actually is good or makes things usable. And that can be very powerful. And so 508 has been much more effective. Again, because there was some teeth on the front end for the government, but because it was a pull legislation in terms of industry, and that is really, if you can get big companies, big customers, the government, states, even large companies, we're finding large companies saying, you know, we have a lot of employees who have disabilities. Is your stuff accessible? And that really surprises people when they say, well, you're not the government. And they say, so I want to have accessible products, and these government regulations seems like a reasonable thing. Can you just answer my question? And that is extraordinarily powerful in terms that shows up in salesmen, that shows up in the marketing, and that goes into product requirements. And if anybody has the ability to affect purchasing by large companies, by large groups, and can just get them to bias them toward accessible things, it is just massively effective. And companies, it rewards companies with sales and profits for doing things that are more accessible, and that's really the way we'd like to see it work.
May kicked off with Mark Mulcahy's look at the GNOME project, an open-source graphic user environment that is shaping up to provide a real alternative to Windows for blind people. In hardware, Don Ball reviewed the Hewlett-Packard PSC1210 scanner, printer, and copier. Main Menu regular Michael Lang was along to demonstrate the Sony MZB100 mini-disc recorder. And we talked with Samuel Adler of VisaAid in Canada about their GPS and DAISY products. The Digital Audio Broadcasting System, or DAB, being used here in Europe and rolled out to many countries around the world, offers a major expansion of listening options. However, it also poses some accessibility challenges. We heard from Ian McRae in London about the pros and cons of digital radio. It's probably fair to say that at the start of this year, many of the features of our cellular phones were inaccessible. Main Menu began June by exploring a newcomer to the accessible mobile phone arena, mobile accessibility. This software can transform a compatible handset running the Symbian operating system into an accessible device.
We wanted to make it available to a wide range of phones, and now it works with the Nokia 7650 and also with the Nokia 3650, because yes, they have got a platform which is called Symbian, and all Symbian phones can be programmed. It also works with the Ericsson phone P800.
So for
Of course, in the future, I think it will work with many other phones. There's a list of the phones on our website, www.mobileaccessibility.com. And in summer, Siemens will bring out a new mobile phone, the Siemens SX1. And they will help to promote our software, and it also will work on that.
And later in June, we heard about the MPO, a mobile phone organizer with a 20-cell braille display, note-taking, agenda capabilities, and a tri-band GPS cellular phone.
It has an 8-key braille key input for entering your information. The basic functionality in the first release that will come out this summer is a GSM telephone with SMS services. It has a note taker inside, it has an agenda, calculator, contact database, And I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but that's the basic functionality at this moment.
What speech synthesizer have you opted to go with in the MPO?
The MPO will come together with a Babel InfoFox speech synthesizer, and that's available in many languages. So that's why we made the choice, except for, and also it has very good speech quality.
What's the underlying operating system of the MPO? Have you gone with CE, or are you using Linux, or what have you got there?
Well, it's not too important what operating system it is, but it's Windows CE. But you won't notice anything about it, except for the PC synchronization functionality, meaning if you connect the MPO to a PC, then you can automatically synchronize your contact information and your text files.
Kelly Superger helped us polish our touch typing with his comprehensive demonstration of the Talking Typing Teacher. Other software demonstrations in June included Sean Randall's quick look at the Ventrilo voice chat system, and DJC showed us how to add more flexibility to our instant messaging client of choice using Smart Butler. And finally, in June, we concluded our series on the GNOME project. In July, Main Menu presenter and ACB Radio pioneer Jonathan Mosen left the project to move to his new post with Pulse Data International. On behalf of Main Menu listeners and contributors, we continue to wish Jonathan and his family every success in their future endeavours. At time of recording, we understand that the American Council of the Blind are still considering applications for a permanent successor. In the meantime, you'll have to put up with me. July is probably the peak of the assistive technology exhibition season, and it's become somewhat traditional in recent years for Main Menu to use July and August to catch up with all the latest news from the exhibits. This year was especially exciting, with Freedom Scientific launching JAWS version 5 to the world at Site Village here in the UK, Site Village being the UK's largest annual exhibition of assistive technology services and products.
JAWS 5.0 is a paid-for release. It will be an SMA release, and this is, I think, the fourth year in a row about this time that we've been doing our paid-for releases. So we're kind of getting into a pattern here of a major release around August, September, and then we do a free update usually around January.
As well as bringing you the JAWS 5 presentation from Eric Damery, we also brought you the Keysoft version 5 presentation at Site Village from Marlena Lieberg. Blind Information Technology Specialists, BIT, is the new name for VidPI, or Visually Impaired Data Processors International. Main Menu provided comprehensive coverage of the BITS vendor showcase from this year's American Council of the Blind convention in Pittsburgh. Our BITS vendor showcase coverage included Ron Miller and Dave Wilkinson of Freedom Scientific, who told us more about PacMate, the note taker designed around pocket PC applications. We heard again from Eric Damery of Freedom Scientific about version 5 of JAWS. Amongst others at the BITS vendor showcase were AFB, Doug Joffrey of GW Micro, Bookshare, Larry Lewis of Pulse Data Humanware, Dancing Dots, and presentations from Braille translation software manufacturer Duxbury, Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, VisitAid, Kurzweil, Talking Solutions, Alva, Reprotronics, and All in Play, formerly known as Zform. Also from the ACB convention, Doug Hunsinger of ACB Radio Interactive caught up with three more of the exhibitors: Guideline Hand Guide, IVS Accessible Voting Machine, and WGBH, Descriptive Video. August seemed to be dominated by more news of computer virus outbreaks. We reminded listeners to take care of their data by using a reliable, up-to-date virus checker on a regular basis, and deleting email attachments unless it's something you know you're expecting. There are three things you can do to protect your data and protect the data of others. These are: Firstly, if you don't have one already, get a virus checker and keep it up to date. There are free virus checkers available. Grisoft, www.grisoft.com. That's www.grisoft.com. Have a free version of their excellent AVG antivirus checker available. Secondly, get a firewall. Windows XP has one built in. If for whatever reason you don't wish to use it, there are free ones available. I believe Seagate, www.sygate.com. That's all the W's, .sygate.com. Have a free firewall which you can download and use. And thirdly and finally, run Windows Update. Also in August, John Gunn started a series exploring the Microsoft Outlook 2000 calendar. And DJC told us about the ACB Open Poker Tournament in association with All in Play, which took place at the end of August. September saw Main Menu's exploration of Easy Reader, software from the Dolphin Group allowing one to listen to and navigate DAISY titles using your PC. DiMartino produced a short series examining Windows toolbars, and we heard from Noel Romy about an exciting voice over IP application called Skype. And finally in September, Corey Martin demonstrated and reviewed OmniPage 12 Pro. The illegality of file sharing was back in people's minds in September following the RIAA filing claims against 261 individuals, including a 12-year-old girl. The ACB Radio RPlace portal hosted an open forum debate, and the highlights of which were broadcast on Main Menu at the start of October. Michael Lang was also back in October with another excellent hardware review. This time Michael demonstrated the iRiver IHP 100 hard disk-based MP3 player. And Carlos Taylor started a new three-part series taking a closer look at some of the new WindowEyes 4.5 features. DJC demonstrated the APC Personal Edition power supply, and Brian Hartchin gave us a comprehensive review of the Key to Freedom offered by Ceratec. And I should probably point out that this week is your last chance to win a Key to Freedom from ACB Radio Interactive. The California Council of the Blind held their state convention in the middle of October, and of course Main Menu was there to bring you coverage of the CCB Technology Showcase, which we broadcast at the start of November. The showcase included question and answer sessions regarding the Aviva from Talking Solutions, the Braille Note from Pulse Data, and the PacMate from Freedom Scientific. In recent weeks, we learned of the sad news that the popular Main Menu contributor Henry Brutsch sadly passed away. I spoke with Henry's widow on the phone and conveyed the sympathies and condolences of ACB Radio contributors and listeners. On a much more frivolous note, ahead of Thanksgiving, ACB Radio Main Menu presented a game special, the highlight of which was a very entertaining demonstration of Troopenum version 2.0. Jam and Jerry produced that for us. And finally, self-professed assistive technology guru Martin Roberts joined us to look back at the year in screen reading. Needless to say, there are countless programs and devices that we've covered this year not mentioned here. One of the purposes of this look back at the year is to illustrate the range of items featured on the program. Main Menu is made possible by kind contributions of time, talent, and expertise from people just like you around the world. So, if you'd like to record something for Main Menu, then get in touch. You can drop us a line, mainmenu@acbradio.org, or visit our website at allthews.acbradio.org/mainmenu.html. Click the link at the top of the page and you'll see our guidelines for submitting an item. So that just remains for me, Dave Williams, to say on behalf of all the Main Menu team, have a very safe festive season and a prosperous 2004.
Main Menu.